Have you ever felt confused by theologian language? I know I have. We got this great question from a listener that says, please explain Romans 10, 9, and 10 in layman's language. And that's exactly what we're going to do on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently answering questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us a message at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's see what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say about this question in today's episode of Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We have a question here from Pastor Chuck. We're taking your questions. Send them to us at radio@faithalone.org. And make sure it's clear. Make sure it's concise. I like cooking, but what I hate, don't I hate about the internet?
No.
Everyone who has a good recipe feels like they need to tell their life story. So I have to read about their dog and how their dog died and how they are rescued by the love of a cat. And then they had fights with their in-laws. And here's my recipe for French bread. I was like, just give me the recipe. Skip the story. Same thing with theology questions. We get a lot of correspondence. And if you want your question answered, make sure you state it very clearly. So here's Pastor Chuck. And Pastor Chuck asks, could you please explain Romans 10, 9 to 10? If you could simplify the explanation, it would help those who are not pastors or scholars. Well, let's figure out, what does Romans 10, 9 to 10 say? This is a famous verse that's often used in evangelism.
Yeah, but it's part of the Romans Road approach.
Right, and we've argued that really you shouldn't be using this for evangelism because it's not about the salvation you think it is.
No. In fact, let me say that people ought to consider reading Zane Hodges' book, Romans, Deliverance from Wrath. He's got a commentary on Romans in which he argues that the Greek words soteria, salvation, or sozo, to save, that those words do not mean salvation from eternal condemnation in Romans. They mean deliverance from wrath. What Hodges is basically saying is Romans is telling you how to avoid getting spanked by God in this life.
Yeah, and there's a simplified version of that commentary in our Grace New Testament commentary. So if you're not ready for the full scholarly commentary that Zane wrote, you can find a simplified version in the Grace New Testament commentary, which we publish.
Right. And in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, I have a chapter on save or salvation.
The word save.
And I walk through the Old Testament uses of save, and I show none of them refer to salvation from eternal condemnation. Mm-hmm. And I walk through the New Testament, and I show that only 3 times out of 10 do the words save or salvation refer to deliverance from eternal condemnation. I do discuss Romans, and I point out that it's always deliverance from God's hand of judgment in this life. Mm. And by the way, in Romans, it's deliverance of the believer from wrath.
Right.
It's deliverance of the born-again person from wrath.
How do we know that?
If we study the various uses of the words save and salvation in Romans, we see it's to believers. For example, start at chapter 1, verses 16, 17, and 18.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes.
Okay, now notice who's getting the salvation there.
For everyone who believes.
Right. It doesn't say you believe to get saved. It's saying the gospel is the power of salvation for the believer.
Oh, so you think this is a salvation that happens after you've already believed and been
saved. Absolutely.
So what is the argument to say that this is a salvation for saved people? How is this different from John 3:16?
Well, John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life.
And doesn't
here,
this say whoever believes has salvation?
No, it's not quite saying that. It says that the gospel is the power to save, or the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes.
So if you believe, you'll get the salvation, right?
No, no. The idea is if you apply the gospel to your life as a believer, then you will get the salvation. In fact, this is brought up more fully by the words that follow. For the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it, that is, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The point here is not that we're justified by faith. The point is we are to live by faith. That's how it's used in Habakkuk 2:4, and that's how it's used here. If we live by faith, then we have the salvation Paul is talking about. And if there's any doubt, look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So, obviously, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against unbelievers who are suppressing the truth.
Right.
But what about a believer who is suppressing the truth and is not walking in gospel truth? Well, then that person is going to experience judgment from God.
Mm.
And so the whole point here is it's salvation of the believer. But we can see it even more easily in 10, 9, and 10. So let's take a look there, too.
All right, 10, 9, and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Okay, before we go on, how many conditions are in verse 9?
You need to believe and you need to confess.
And you confess with what?
Your mouth.
And you believe in your heart.
Yeah.
So confession is external. Belief is internal.
Right.
Are those the same thing?
No, they're different.
I've read all kinds of explanations, though, that say these are the same thing.
Well, how different are they, really?
I say radically different.
I mean, if you believe, it's kind of like, how different is it to say, I believe? I mean, isn't that the expression of the same kind of movement? Is it something radically different?
It is, because...
Or is there like a Jewish way of speaking here? Is it kind of a poetic kind of way?
Well, of course, all of this in Romans 9, 10, 11 is dealing with the future salvation of Israel. That is the future deliverance of Israel from God's wrath in the tribulation and the future deliverance of the nation into the kingdom.
Right.
But in this context, yeah, it is going back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And basically, within the context, what Paul is saying in verse 9 is there are two conditions to gaining this deliverance. One is confession, which is external.
Yeah.
And Paul makes the point that this is with the mouth, not the same as believing in the heart.
Yeah.
In other words, let's say that you believe in Christ for everlasting life or for your justification.
Yeah.
When you're, what, 18? How old were you when you came to faith?
I was 17.
17. So let's say you confessed Christ, you continued to go to church, you told others you were a believer until you were, let's say, 30, and you stopped, and you never confessed him anymore. Now, you've believed in him.
Right.
So you're justified, right? Because it's by faith alone.
Right.
But you've stopped confessing him at age 30.
I'm not telling anyone that I believe.
Right. But you still believe.
Yeah.
Okay, according to verse 9, would you be saved?
Yeah, I guess if we're reading it super literally, like these are two totally different actions and not poetically, I don't know. I mean, I guess we can say, you know, this is strictly, you have to form the words with your mouth and the vocal cords. And
okay, let's look at verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This calling on the name of the Lord is parallel with confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 14 says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed?
Ah, so it is.
Doesn't that distinguish believing from calling?
Right.
And then he says, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
So well, you hear, you believe, and then you can call.
Yeah, first the preacher, then you hear, then you believe, then you call.
Right.
So it's not pushing anything to say 9 and 10 is talking about two different things. So what Paul is saying here is, look, if at age 30 you stop confessing Christ,
right,
your faith in Christ isn't going to save you.
Whatever the salvation is.
Right.
It's not
you're still justified, but you're not going to be saved from whatever the salvation is. So look at verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Okay, righteousness is the noun dikaiosune.
Mm-hmm.
The verb form is dikaiao. Dikaiao means to justify. Well, isn't that the whole point of Romans 3 and 4?
Right.
Justification by faith alone. So according to the first part of verse 10, what does it take to be justified?
You just believe. Believe unto righteousness.
Wait a minute. Didn't the previous verse say you have to both believe and confess to have righteousness? No, it didn't quite. It said you have to believe and confess in order to be saved.
Mm.
Clearly, Paul is distinguishing salvation and righteousness here.
Right. And so then the second thing is, believe in the heart unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Right. So if you're not a confessing Christian, you're not going to be saved from Romans 1:18, the wrath of God.
Right. So you see the difference between believing and confessing in verse 9, in verse 10, and also in verse 14. How will they call upon him in whom they have not believed?
So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're not confessing that. And the main way we do that, by the way, Hodges brings this out in his commentary, is by gathering with other believers publicly. And we're part of the believing community.
So that's not your mouth, though, anymore.
Well, it is in the sense that when you're in the church, you're part of a praying community that's praying, Lord Jesus, and you're crying out, Lord Jesus. Mm. And even if you're not necessarily the one doing that, you're part of the community. But of course, you're doing it as well in that community. It would also include, of course, our sharing our faith and other things, but it's primarily the local church. Well, if you're not doing that, and nobody knows you're a Christian, you're a secret believer in Christ, you're not going to be saved from God's judgment. He is going to discipline you, and you are going to reap the consequences. So in order to be born again, you just need to believe. But in order to be blessed, you need to confess Christ, which is part of being part of the believing community. And of course, it's even more than just saying the words. It's also confessing him with your life. And this is brought out in many other passages. For example, Philippians chapter 2, we shine as lights in the darkness. But the point is, we need to confess Christ, not simply believe in him in order to be saved from God's wrath. So can you see how Romans 10, 9 and 10, although the first part of verse 10 does have we believe for righteousness, it could be quite confusing, and you could make an unbeliever think it's not enough to believe in Jesus. To be born again, you've got to also confess him. No, to be born again or justified, all you do is believe. But in order to be saved from God's wrath, you must also confess him.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about this phenomenon of church merchandising. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.